Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Well, good morning, Portland. It's just about time to get your day started right here with Dusty and Cam. On 10 a.m. FM. We'll get up and get started. It's time for Dusty and Cam. Just around 6, shower, shave, and coffee. It's time to get that sports fix. Bring a case of the Mondays, then there's would you rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today. It's Dusty and Cam.
Which one's crusty and which one's dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lights up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
Yo, love you, dog.
I love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Good morning, happy Thursday to you, the 20th of February, 2020. It is 2-20-20. How about that? Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, I'm jazzed.
Really good? Oh, jazzed, huh? Haven't heard that one in a while.
Well, it's because it's the first time in a long time I've been excited about something over the weekend.
Wait. Over last weekend?
No. Or something coming up to this weekend that I've been really, I mean, I am looking forward to, and I hope that the billing pays off. I really do.
What the hell's coming up this weekend?
Oh, you don't know?
I think I know.
Buck, would you like to throw a gander?
I think you're talking about the fight game.
Oh, I am talking about the fight game.
Wilder Fury.
We get to see a 6'9 Brit go against an American that, I mean, if it's, it's, we as boxing fans in America need this. We need it. We need big heavyweights with big personalities and a great fight.
The Gypsy King.
My interest in this fight was piqued yesterday when I saw that Tyson Fury used to drink 20 to 30 Diet Cokes a day.
A day?
That's not uncommon.
That is uncommon.
That's not uncommon.
20 to 30
no,
a
Diet
day?
No, Diet Coke people, when you're a Diet Coke person, you are all in. You're not a one or two Diet Coker.
See, I would admit, when you're
a Diet Coker, you're a minimum 10.
Man.
No
Oh,
way.
No. Yeah, see, I've been a two or three Diet Cokes a day person, like, years ago. But 20 to 30.
Wait, why do people like the Diet Coke more than the original? Is it?
It's the sugar. People don't want the sugar.
They don't want sugar.
They don't want the sugar.
But
they do want the caffeine.
But don't you drink, like, if you drink like 10 to 20, all of a sudden that is way less healthy.
Well, it's not good for you, but I think the people who are concerned about their sugar, calorie, and teeth.
Look, as long as John Daly is still walking around, promoting everything. If just John Daly goes around, John Daly is a 10 to 15 Diet Coke a day guy.
Right. Yes. And he's a beacon of health.
Beacon of health.
Yeah.
As long as that is still your poster boy, there you go. I always say do what you got to do and do what you want.
God, what was the offensive coordinator's name at Oregon State? That guy, remember?
Yeah, he was a 15 to 20
Diet Coke a day guy. It must be something about the Diet Coke people. You know who else are like that? Mountain Dew people.
Mountain
Dew folk are like that too.
No, Mountain Dew thing. That thing's got like 50 grams of sugar in it. It'll just obliterate you.
Okay, but let's not act like Diet Coke is the healthy alternative, though.
Well, I know. Whatever the sweetener is in Diet Coke, I don't know. It's probably aspartame or some awful chemical or whatever. It doesn't really matter. It's Diet Coke. It works.
Yeah.
I guess some people love it. I don't. I'm not a pop guy.
Anyways, Fury Wilder, that piqued my interest yesterday, too, because I loved what Fury said. He said Wilder is the third best heavyweight in the world.
Remember, this man is 6'9".
Yeah. And Wilder said, who's number two? And Fury's response was, yo mama. I am all in for more yo mama jokes during press conferences. Yeah.
It's going to be a great fight. I think it needs to be a great. I think both these guys know that it's going to be a good fight, no matter how it happens. Just that it's a rematch, and we get to see that. And watching Wilder probably whoop his butt and go down back and forth. I think it's I haven't been this jazzed for a heavyweight fight in I can't remember. I can't remember. It's been so long since a heavyweight fight has got this kind of intrigue.
I was down in Vegas 2 weekends ago. There are two things plastered all over that city. Like, you cannot go 10 feet without seeing it. One is Vegas Golden Knights stuff. It's everywhere down there. Everywhere.
Second is Tom Brady to Vegas.
No. Oh. The other was like flyers, billboards, side of the MGM Grand. All of it, Wilder Fury.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the two things that were everywhere in Las Vegas. Didn't matter the casino that you were in, mm-hmm. you were seeing Wilder Fury and Vegas Golden Knights. Those two things.
Isn't it incredible about watching how boxing still has the gravitas? As much as you want to say that it doesn't, you know, I know the UFC is the thing, and UFC is great, and UFC has that kind of punch. But what was more interesting, watching Conor McGregor fight Floyd Mayweather or watching him fight a UFC? For the masses. I'm talking for the masses. For all of us that are fight fans. Boxing still carries, I mean, it does, it just does. It's a massive art form that when you see two really high-end trained athletes going after it like that, it just mm-hmm. is, it's still incredible. It's the ultimate combative sport.
But here is...
I know the UFC person, no, it's not. We got to go to the ground. We got jiu-jitsu. We got all this other stuff. I don't know a lot of ladies. I mean, I know there's some ladies that love UFC, but there's still a lot of people that just they love boxing.
Well, and I think one of the things that goes into this is the fact that boxing has a connection with us at some point. It's a lot like baseball.
Because boxed? Have you ever boxed?
No.
No, I mean like you've pretended to airbox.
Oh, shadow boxing, gloves, and all that stuff. Yeah, absolutely. No, what I'm talking about is like growing up, we all knew the fighters and the heavyweights back in the 80s, 90s, the 70s, you know, in the heyday of boxing back then. Everybody knew those fighters, and you grew up with those being household names. And we always want to go back to that. So when you have a marquee event, when you have a marquee fight, then it is something that people are attracted to. It's a lot like baseball, where baseball, 162-game season, a lot of people just don't care because it's like, doesn't mean much. But when the World Series comes around, you watch because it has to be something that draws you in, and that's what big fights are. They don't have that connection with UFC anymore.
Well, you don't have the personalities yet. That's kind of the key. You have to have the gravitas, the connection to the people. Some way, somehow, no matter what, if it's good or bad, there's got to be some sort of personality mm-hmm. connection. As much as you want to say every single one of those guys, Tyson was great because he was the kid. He was Kid Dynamo. I mean, everything about it. So this is I'm hoping
Dynamo?
He lives up to Kid Dynamite, Dynamo, Dynamite. It's all the same thing. Dynamo. No, Dynamo is not Dynamite.
No, nope.
Two different things. Along the same lines, it means the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ish.
And like Ali, his personality, it brought everything out. And then it was just everybody trying to react to that. And you need people like that to make it.
Now my goal is to make sure my neighbor buys it because he's got a theater in his house. So I got to make sure he gets it so we can watch it at his house.
Well,
and then I'll chip in.
Does he have the ESPN Plus? Because that's what it is, an ESPN pay-per-view event.
Well, they got Comcast. You just boom, boom.
Just do the ESPN Plus. Don't you get a little discount if you're ESPN Plus member? Like a little something off the top? I think
it's
you
a good
do.
Question.
I think you do.
It's a good question. Yeah. No matter what, you got to do it.
Yeah.
You got to do it. It's probably the biggest watch fight of this decade. That's me going out on a limb. It's only 2020. Biggest watch fight of the
decade. Oh, that's a bold claim, Cotton. Let's see if this one pays off.
Yeah.
And it might be, well, they're already saying there's going to be a third. There will be a trilogy to this fight.
Oh, so yeah, just re-sign up because, you know, I was watching, I was listening to a blog the other day because fighters are broke. Fighters are terrible money people. They're terrible. They're all broke.
Oh, really? Why?
Well, because I was listening to 50 Cent on a...
It's 50?
Well. 50 Cent was on a blog, and he was talking about how Floyd Mayweather is so broke he's going to have to fight again.
No.
Yeah,
there's no way he is broke.
He said he can't. He said his payroll, everything. He said they have beef.
Like, yeah, they hate each other.
They still have beef. But he said that he's going to have to fight because he's broke. Because he can't keep up the kind of expenditures and stuff that he has. And you'll see it coming around again that he'll have to fight again.
What?
Because he's broke.
Oh, man.
But all those fighters, I mean, name those guys. The amount of money that they were making, poof. Payroll, keeping guys on the payroll.
Yeah.
Have you seen Floyd Weather's lifestyle? I know he's making a lot of money.
Well, I thought he was a professional gambler and he makes like $1 million every NFL game, right?
I have no idea.
Oh, wait. He only shows the tickets that he wins, not the ones that he loses.
I tend to believe that 50 Cent is a businessman and Floyd Mayweather is a fighter.
Mm. I don't know how much money Floyd Mayweather has. I know he's made a ton of money, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. But
well,
a lot
Tyson
of them-
went broke. Holyfield went broke. All these big-name guys, they all have gone through it. It's just a story of a lot of people that deal with that. Those fighters, they're just surrounded by so much stuff.
They also have a like this idea around them and a mentality around them that they're not going to live long enough to see that money through anyway, so they just try to go and spend it.
We can't take it with you.
But the problem is that they spend it so quickly that they are living through it because, I mean, they just poof, gone.
Here's my other thought of the night as I was browsing and perusing.
They need to make a Foreman grill.
They do. We'll form it.
A Mayweather grill.
It's been done.
Oh.
You still have one? Anybody still have one out there?
Yeah, we just donated ours to Goodwill.
I don't have mine anymore.
Yeah, we got rid of it about a month ago. Oh. Yeah. Well, what were you going to say? Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, take this with a grain of salt. As I was thinking about last night watching sports, Mike Krzyzewski and the Duke lost to North Carolina State. And that's not really what this is about.
The icy
handshake.
Mm.
I think I'm over the icy handshake. The obsession to always be in a good mood when you lose and be respectful at sometimes. If I stick my hand out and shake your hand, no matter if I'm disappointed or not, it still means I'm kind of engaged, but I don't have to be all jovial, happy, and happy-go-lucky and thankful that you beat me because I don't want to get beat. So the icy handshake is I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the Jim Harbaugh. I'm okay with all of that. I shake your hand, I shake your hand. It doesn't have to be so perfect to the point where it's a love fest and you give each other a kiss on the cheek.
Who's upset with that?
People
are upset that Mike Krzyzewski wasn't happy about getting his ass kicked?
No, just in general. Just watching the icy handshake. Yeah. I can appreciate the icy handshake. I don't take it personally.
It's a good thing. No. Because everybody knows that even the coaches that when you win, you don't sit there with a huge smile on your face. Hey, good job. And
have you ever
then
seen Bill Belichick do a really good handshake?
I don't know.
I mean,
not that I can remember.
If you know, there's like an occasional bro hug. If you're really, really a part of it, he'll only bro hug you when he wins. When he loses, it's a head turn. Well, moving on, handshake. But then there's the Jim Harbaugh and the Schwartz, Jim Schwartz connection.
May the Schwartz be with you.
The good slap in the back, the extra butt pat.
Ooh, a little hard. What's wrong with you, bro? All right. Hey, we got some Pac-12 news in football. I'm just seeing a report of an interview going down for the Colorado head coaching job. May not be the person that a lot of reports have as the Buffs' number one target. This is turning into quite the affair in Colorado as Mel Tucker left and they're scrambling to find a coach in Boulder. Dustin Cam on the Fan. Hey, Fitty. Do you know the story of how he went from 50 Cent to Fitty?
No, I don't.
Sharon Osbourne.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it was on, she's on what show? Is she on The View?
I don't know.
On The View?
I don't know.
That's what it is, I think.
Is she?
Because she's British.
Mm-hmm.
She's was calling him Fitty. And he said he liked it better than 50.
Okay.
Because he was 50 Cent, and then he became 50 Cent because of Sharon Osbourne. And now you know. And knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. We had this text because you said Coach K's salty handshake. And I just saw a Twitter post about that, about his icy handshake after getting beat
by
20.
Which I'm all in on icy handshakes.
Yeah.
Especially after I lose.
Why just after you lose?
Well, because you're not happy about it.
Wouldn't you have
You're highly competitive.
Wouldn't you have a bigger problem if Coach K lost by 20 and was happy?
No, because
like
I know
if you're
pissed. I know his personality, but if I've never coached against somebody or played against somebody and I got done and somebody gave me an icy handshake after I whooped them or beat them in a grade up matchup, I'm not taking it personal. I'm just not taking it personal.
But Ian texted in, Coach K is pretty insufferable though, when we were talking about that.
What does that mean? It's so vast of an opinion.
Well, it could be for a variety of reasons.
Is it pompous? Is it more that he's pompous or insufferable? Is that really what you... Because they're rich dookies?
He's very preachy. about, you know, doing it the right way. And he's quick to criticize other guys' players. Remember the Dylan Brooks thing in the NCAA tournament, even though the shot clock was expiring?
He's the spokesman. He's the spokesman of college basketball.
Yeah, and he's supposed to be like this. He treats himself like he is like the voice of college basketball. And
USA basketball.
Yeah, and then there's the icy handshake stuff, and then there's the taking away things like his players' gear if they're losing.
Oh, I love all that.
Yeah.
I absolutely do.
That's why people find him insufferable. I don't. I never really have understood the Coach K hatred. And then there's just people that say he is just his look that makes him. And I've never understood that either.
It's piercing. His look is piercing.
Yeah. He looks, I've always thought he looks kind of like the Spud McKenzie dog.
I think he kind of looks like a cartoon villain.
Aggressive.
He looks like one of the guys. Remember Spy versus Spy?
Yeah.
He kind of looks like that. I was going to go with
pointy facial features.
Was it Galgamesh from the Smurfs?
No, that's Gargamel.
Yep, that's it. Galgamesh is the brewery.
Great Gazoo?
Not the Great Gazoo.
I loved Gargamel.
He kind of looks like Gargamel.
Azrael!
Yeah.
Azrael was the cat.
And, you know, like this... say what you want, but there's never been a hint of him running anything but a very clean program. I think there's been a lot of hints that he does not.
I don't know of any hints that he does not. I don't know that.
Well, remember the whole scandal of the most recent Nike thing? There was the 20, like,
no.
Who was it? Harry Giles? Is that what his name was? He was shopping himself for $50,000 to every other program except for Duke.
Yeah.
You know,
but nothing was proven, right? It was just all rumors.
Yes, but okay, most of these things are rumors.
Yeah,
in the unless you're Louisville, and that was definitely
that's not a rumor.
But there's a lot of
they had a brothel, so there's no brothels at Duke.
And then there's who's the guy at Pitt now? What's his name? The coach that he got super upset about at Pitt.
Capel.
Yep, Jeff Capel. Mm-hmm. Mark Titus. Is a former Ohio State basketball player. He's long said Capel's was the bag man for a long time.
I mean, if you were to play for a college basketball
rumors,
coach, that's a blue blood. How could you not pick Duke if they knocked on your door with him?
I don't know who else you'd go to. Izzo?
You want to talk Boeheim? About surly and angry. Who's more surly, Izzo or Coach K? Izzo would just...
Well, so is Boeheim.
I don't like Jim Boeheim in a sense. I respect the program. Not a big fan of him. Even Kentucky with Calipari or
oh, Coach Cal. Yeah.
Yeah, he's still a little greasy, but I like it. I like him. I like all those blue bloods.
Who's the most insufferable coach in sports?
Most insufferable coach in sports? That's a big question.
Well, I mean, who is it for you?
College basketball?
No, any
college
sport.
Football, anything? That's going to take some time. Insufferable coaches that's hard to deal with.
Yeah, kind of a dime a dozen, too. I mean, because of what you said, it's such a broad landscape. Like, it could be for any 5 billion reasons that you think a guy is insufferable. Like, a lot of people feel that way about Jim Harbaugh, because he's just so intense and over the top with everything.
Yeah.
And he does his sleepover at recruit's house, but then he can be a complete jerk at the same time.
A lot of milk.
Mm-hmm. A lot of milk.
I can appreciate a good Jim Harbaugh.
So... Which coaches don't you like?
I appreciate all the coaches that are where they are. I don't have, I mean, the worst coach, most lack of respect coach that still is an intelligent, brilliant man was Mike Martz. I just couldn't connect with what he was as a person, as a coach. And that doesn't mean he's not a bad coach. He's still a great coach. I just didn't connect with that.
How about
insufferably pompous and arrogant and stuck in his ways? Well, that's what makes you successful.
How about future Colorado coach Steve Sarkisian?
Get ready to ride on, baby. Let's go.
I was waiting for that. You know, when I saw that post, and immediately there was a post about that on social media.
Yeah.
And then where the cesspool of people live is in the comments. You know, if you're just there for the comments, you know, the Jason Momoa where he pops up the lawn chair.
Comment sections.
Comment sections. Just the insufferable people of trolls that live there. But there was a couple comments that went right to his, what he's dealing with as a recovering alcoholic, which is no joke. Okay, not to joke about any of that. And I know we play that clip, but that was a dark place for him to go. I mean, I got to know Sark just very, a little bit. as a former coach and what he was going through. Every time I saw him, I thought he was probably he had a drink in his hand or something was that. So if he has recovered and do all that, I wish him all the luck in the world. Am I a fan of his style and what it is? Not really. Is he good for Pac-12 football? Yes. Yes, he is good for Pac-12 football. Is he good for Colorado? Yes. I think he is. I would think it would do great. I mean, he can recruit. That's not even a question. He can recruit. He knows how to connect to young athletes. He knows how to connect to people. All those things he can do. Do I think he's genuine? I question the genuine about it, but that's not really for me to judge. His wins and losses will be get out of the seven-win SARC philosophy of thinking of getting over that and being back in the Pac-12. I think he can be successful there.
Well, and you know, being humbled the way that he was. I mean, yeah. he was a rocket ship, his trajectory in the coaching world. So he'd never been kind of humbled before. He went from coordinator to head coach at Washington to USC, and then poof, it all just kind of goes away so quickly. It was amazing his rise in the coaching ranks. And then you get humbled, you know, what is he going to be like his second time around? Did the Nick Saban rehabilitation clinic for coaches, did it humble him? He's only 45 years old, Sarkis.
Well, yeah, he and I are the same age.
He is a young guy.
No, he's older than me. He's a year older than me.
And the thing about it is now, according to reports out of Colorado, they have a top three Colorado does to replace Mel Tucker. They are number one. Steve Sarkisian, who career record is 46-35 as a head coach, a 12-6 record at USC. Number two, Troy Calhoun, who is the head coach at Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where he's at? So they just don't want to pay the moving expenses.
They don't want to have to move very far.
And Troy Calhoun is, but here's the thing about him, he's a triple option guy.
Yeah.
You know, like what is?
Well,
he,
I think
he
can. I think he would not bring the triple option to Colorado. That's just part of the tradition of Air Force. You know, coaches can adapt offensively. They can.
Well, what was he before? I mean, where was he at before? He was. I'm looking here. He was at Ohio, and then Wake Forest, mm-hmm. and then he was an assistant for the Denver Broncos and Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. Oh, he was the Texans offensive coordinator in 2006. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. But Calhoun is 98-69 at Air Force. And then number three is Brett Bielema. And apparently it is in that order who is 97-58 in his career.
Brett Bielema, the adult version of Beavis and Butthead, more the Butthead side.
He is the Butthead side.
He is
yes.
the Butthead side, not the Beavis side. You know what? I would argue if Sark could have got things on the rails, that USC would be in a better place athletically and just for the program if he could have kept it together. But he didn't, and history is, and Clay Helton's got to deal with that and that repercussions, and he's doing the best he can there at this current tumultuous program that they have going on down there, nothing but turmoil. So I think they would have been better if Sark could have found a way to stay together, but didn't, and now this is the path. He had a chance. He went to the Atlanta Falcons back mm-hmm. with and jumping back to Alabama and doing – not only learning, because Charlie Strong, I saw, was just hired back in that rehabilitation of Alabama. So now you're going to get a coach to get rehabilitated by Nick Saban, bringing in smart coaches. No one's ever questioned the intelligence and the ability to coach and recruit. Sark's always had that, and he can do that.
Sark should take Charlie Strong with him. And that's one of the things, too, is Troy Rank of ABC7 in Denver. He is saying that Colorado is going to increase their assistant coach pool mm-hmm. for money because they're sick of losing coaches, and they will come to a resolution shortly. Earlier this week, they interviewed Calhoun on Monday or Tuesday. Wednesday, sure. Sarkisian was on campus, and then Bielema, I guess, will round out at some point.
Well, I wanted to read this guy. I know we're up against, so I want to read this last quote. This came from the Mercury News and John Wilner. Speaking of the Pac-12 and the situation about raising costs, I just want you to think about this. This came from ASU's president, Michael Crow, who happened to be good friends with the Pac-12 commissioner, Larry Scott.
Uh-oh.
Was on the original negotiating and brought him in. This comes from Michael Crow, Pac-12 fans. Concerned about the state of affairs, they have forgotten the complexity of the strategy. Also, the conference is well-positioned. Plus, the Pac-12 nets are unbelievably valuable. I couldn't be more just I feel like that this to what? Listen to the arrogance of a Pac-12 college commissioner, or not even a commissioner, but a president, talk down to the fans and try to sit there and say the state of affairs have forgotten the complexity. You are last. Stop telling us all those things.
What context is that in? Why did he come out and say that?
Yeah. This is just what we're talking about, Colorado having to bump the pool up of money. Well, where are they going to have to get it? Well, they're not getting it from the network. But these are the guys. Man. This is honestly, the more you watch this, the more you can see just unfolding in front of you, the good old boy network in front of you, and watching these now presidents, these sitting presidents of all places, Arizona State. The last one came from Oregon State and Ed Ray. Mm. Why are these Arizona State and Oregon State people talking? Where are the real money people? Oh, that's right. One's in bad shape. The other one doesn't need the money, Oregon. And the other one up north in Washington, they don't really need the money either. Mm. But it looks bad for the group.
55305, that is the fan text line. Hey, the NFL, they're not hurting for money. The new CBA could be done, and there is some big changes coming. A 14-team playoff and an extended regular season. What's the big win for the players in all of this, and how quickly could it come to fruition? A new CBA after Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Went to the coast. We get together, have a few laughs.
Text us at 55305. I'd love to berate you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive? No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us at 55305 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
I'll go out there and take it.
The Fan.
55305. Are we getting closer to the NFL being year-round? 17-week schedule and a 14-team playoff. That is what the new collective bargaining agreement is shaping up to be, according to reports from ESPN's Adam Schefter. NFL owners called to New York, man. This means that they're close, because that's got to mean that they're getting close to a vote on this thing by all considerations and reports. Is that a new CBA on the way?
Yeah, they could be getting real close. And this is one. You remember when Mark Cuban in 2014 mentioned that the NFL fat and happy, you know, pigs go out. What does it say? What was his quote about? It was something about when pigs get fat and happy, hogs. That's kind of what the NFL. I know that didn't make any sense.
I don't know.
But Mark Cuban made a point that in the next 10 years, in 2014, Mark Cuban said, in 10 years, the NFL is going to burst. It's going to go down. Mm. I look at this and I go, of course the owners are getting greedy, because there's one of two things you can see here. The owners need to get this done. And why do they need to get this done quickly with the players? What's the first thought to get it done with the players and get them out of the way? What's the immediate next process that owners and the NFL have to go through?
TV.
Not just TV. What else now?
Streaming.
Streaming rights. TV and streaming rights. They haven't even touched the negotiations of that. And also, too, this goes without saying, is that the NFL is the only league that tells you how much you're going to have to pay.
What?
They're the only league that walks into a negotiation and the negotiation isn't a negotiation. It is a, guess what, guys? Our percentage just goes up 20%. And you know what Fox, CBS, ABC, NBC, and everybody else goes, oh, it's gone up 20%? Yes, it's gone up 20%. Mm-hmm. You mean we can? No, we're not negotiating. Here's what you will pay us. It's incredible at that point when you have that kind of leverage. There is no leverage. There's actually no network leverage. It now turns into, well, I guess we'll buy Monday Night Football. No, we will take it. You sit around and you, okay, thank you, sir. May I have another? And you write check upon check upon check with the billions and billions and billions. The only way you can make more money is you can expand to 17. And then now that you need to get it done with the players, this tells you, and it shows you so quickly, that the NFL sits with the players and they sit in these negotiations. They say, we're going to give you this. We're going to give you this. Trust us. We're going to have all that. They have so much in their back pocket to know that they can now go to networks and advertisers that they, when they get done, they rub their little hands together like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons and go, see, look who we got him for. No matter how the negotiations end, the power still leans with the owners.
And this is, it's actually pretty smart on what they're doing, because they're working together in this, because there would be a little bit of leverage that the networks would have had this year, albeit a teeny tiny bit of leverage, because the players in the league are looking at something that is historically a trend. During election years, ratings go down for the NFL. There are debates on Sunday nights. There are round-the-clock coverage. People become a little bit more distracted during election years. It is an election year this year.
Wow, it's already been 4 years.
And
it's
the blinked. Ratings would go down a little bit. Remember back in 2016? That was the big fall-off, because you had the Kaepernick thing coming to a head.
Yeah.
You had an election year, and that was the big dip. They see it coming. And historically, if you look back, every election year, they do dip a little bit, mm-hmm. a little bit. They're going, let's get this thing out of the way so we can renegotiate the television deal and say, we've got 10 more years where we're not going to have a single work stoppage, and they can negotiate that TV deal before the ratings dip even just a little bit. It's actually pretty smart that they're working together on this, because if you get a massive TV deal, that's more money in the players' pockets too.
Well, it's more money because you're adding a game. You're trying to add a game. You're changing a playoff format. You're making it more interesting. But that game, that one game money, if you want to break that down, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, what that one game does, it throws an odd number out, because there's no 8 and 8s anymore. You're not even. It throws out a potentially centrally or a way out of country type of game. It throws everybody into a maybe potential second bye week. It is the ultimate trump card for the NFL and the owners. Whatever that one game brings you can mean so much. It's a staggering amount of money for that one game. You don't believe it, but just look. Just look at the willingness to get rid of the preseason games and what it's going to mean for us as fans. And it's not my money. I don't care. I mean, gives me another week of football. Sign me up.
55305. Is there a benefit, though, to having nearly half the teams in the league into the playoffs from a competitive standpoint? Looking at the teams that would be getting in, is it going to help the league? And what does 17 games actually mean for competitive balance? There's something that has been overlooked in this. Text us at 55305. The benefits of the new CBA. Going to be ratified very shortly. They're saying next 48 hours. Dustin Cam on the Fan. The NFL owners have been summoned to New York. The NFLPA is trying to get together as well to talk out the terms of a new collective bargaining agreement. Apparently they're close, and the big changes would be a 7-team in each conference playoff, so 14 total teams, and a 17-game regular season schedule with a shortened preseason. Text at 55305. It might be only one extra game for each team, but it's 2 extra weeks of the regular season, so that's a lot of money. And that's a great point, is that that is one thing the league would say to us. If we add a 17th game, and this is a reported concession, is that if we add an extra game, you then get an extra bye week. So you're extending the regular season out by an extra 2 weeks. Think of the TV money you'll get for that. And then you're adding a playoff game.
Yeah.
Or two playoff games, actually, during wild card weekend. And that, to me, that is huge. And one thing I love about this 17-game schedule as well is you can give a benefit to teams that win. Because when you have a 17-game schedule, it's not 8 home games, 8 road games anymore. If you win, you get an extra home game. And I think that would be a fair way to put the schedule together, is the better you are, the more home dates you get.
What it does, it makes it more competitive for the playoffs, to the point where you only get one team that gets a bye. That's the caveat that means that the competitiveness and the fight for that, when you have 13-win teams, you know, what do we have, 3 of them this year? 13-win teams, yeah. and 2 of them played on wild card weekend. I mean, that's just, so that's, that doesn't really change, because if you're adding in a week when it comes to the playoffs, all in all, for us as fans, you can't argue at all that it's not great for fans, because that's really what they're trying to do. You can't tell me that they're trying to devalue the fan experience. If they remove preseason games, benefits us. If they give us more options on television, streaming rights, that's for us. If they give it for more playoffs, that's for us. I mean, for anybody that's arguing that, oh, I don't think, it's all for the benefit of the experience as a fan, not only to consume it at any mobile streaming device, but on any screen, anywhere in the world,
mm-hmm.
and giving us more and more and more. I don't know if it needs to stretch into March. Nobody wants all year round football because that's just not feasible. But for all of us as consumers,
I want it.
This is great news.
Yeah, I think it is great news. And I do. I want year round football.
Well, no, I think, well, and what I mean, do really? Do what, you, really?
Yes.
You want year round NFL?
I love football. So, yeah, sure. Oh. I mean,
well, I.
Why not?
I like spicy chicken wings, but if I ate it every day, it'd be really rough on my stomach.
The thing is that NFL does become year-round, though, because it shortens the offseason calendar, which is already full of other events, like combine, the draft, training camp opening up. And that, to me, that is what year-round football is these storylines, these dead weeks and dead periods where we have nothing. It then gets filled with something, and I think that is great. This text, 55305, Dambo says it's an absolute win-win because the players are going to get a bigger chunk of the pie. And, oh, by the way, right now, playoff teams that if you earn a bye, so this year, the Ravens, Chiefs, Niners, and Packers, those teams that got a bye, they don't get a game check on the bye week? They don't get a playoff cut?
On the bye week? No, you don't get your playoff cut until you play the game. But it's a bigger chunk. It's a higher chunk. I think I don't know the exact number. Somewhere around the first week wildcard weekend, somewhere around I think it's 16,000-17,000, and then the next week it's 28,000-27,000. It's right around those numbers. You don't get paid if you don't play in a game, you're not going to get paid. But if you do make it to that next round, it's just a bigger check.
And this is a little nugget out of these talks and coming out is that those teams that get the bye, if you earn that one bye and you're the number one overall seed, you do get paid for that wild card weekend, mm-hmm. which is, I think that's a pretty cool little addition.
Nice little bonus.
I don't know why it hadn't happened before, but
just kind of how the negotiations happened.
What?
Just how the negotiations worked. You don't want to share. If you don't work, they didn't want to pay you.
Yeah, I know. But yeah. It seems ridiculous that you earn a first round bye and you aren't rewarded for that monetarily as well. I think that is a little bit silly, but I don't know. That seems like something. Regardless, it's here now, and that's a good thing. Also, when you look at how many teams are in and out of the playoff hunt, if you add one more team, like everybody was talking about yesterday, it would have been, you would have gotten the Rams and the Steelers in. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of poo-pooing, Steelers were 8-8, that's a 500 team.
Doesn't matter.
There would have been six teams all within one game in the final week of the regular season in the AFC. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, Denver, Oakland, Indy, Jets. Now, you can say all you want that those teams didn't deserve to be in, and they all would have lost to the Chiefs in all likelihood anyways in the first round wildcard weekend.
Right.
But that makes for such an intriguing final week of the season.
Well, it does. And what it does is it matches up with kind of what the NBA does. And the NBA puts half the league in. And they understand it. And then here's the NFL going, we need to put half the league in. We need to do it. It just doesn't make sense to not add more and more and more. Because
doesn't that devalue.
Well, no, it doesn't. It actually makes it better. And Major League Baseball goes, no, let's have less. Let's let you pick. You know, baseball's going to learn. They'll catch up eventually. They'll get out of their own way, but that's a whole other story.
Well, they're adding teams too.
They're proposing.
They got mocked for having a 7-team playoff and for proposing the 7-team playoff, and now the NFL doesn't. People are like, this is great.
They got mocked for the format, not for offering more teams. It was more the format of you get to choose, like Oprah. You know, you get this, you get that, whatever. This is all about revenue. And I'm super excited for what, if the players are going to be happy with this and they're really going to fight for these small things and the concessions moving forward, I want to know the details because this seems, the big, big, big thing is that extra week. That was always going to be somehow, mm-hmm. some way, the players knew that they were going to have to fight for that and what the league wanted. They just knew it.
They got their way. They got their way, though, with getting bigger chunks of the pie.
Do you think they walked in with a giant briefcase and just went, here's what it's going to look like for every guy, and they just stand in front of the lawyers and D. Smith and just open up briefcases of going, this is how much more it's going to look like when we add that game, guys, for everybody. I can hear the sell,
but is it before for everybody? Because a lot of these guys, and this is why Russell Wilson was rumored to be fighting for a percentage of the cap instead of a set number, is that they may open up these briefcases And it, you may have a larger salary cap, but a lot of these guys are locked into 3 and 4 year deals.
And they are. And I'm not gonna pretend that I need equality for as a former player or anything. Because my mindset, if I was 24 and I was one of those lucky guys that were sitting there and I was up in my contract, I'm not gonna pretend here to say we want equal as the owner. Mm-hmm. Okay, we live in a capitalist country with society. The owners, the billionaires, are always gonna make the biggest amount. There's nothing wrong with that. But as if you can disclose and get them to disclose the books, which they never will, okay, they never will. They're not going to tell you. Their owner's not going to sit there and goes, by the way, our payroll is $284 million. We know how much your check comes from. We will never know what those owners are really making. Yeah. Because they always leave a percentage on the table, and smart negotiators know that. They try to figure it out. They try to give you a little bit of a tease of how much you have, but in the end, the league and the owners will make the king's ransom. And you have to be okay with that.
Your text, 55305. I'd really like to see the extra bye week and use it to split the Thursday night game so there's no games on 3 days rest. And that is, in all likelihood, what they would do with a lot of that extra bye week that you get. You're going to have a lot of teams that may have like 2 bye weeks in 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that is going to happen. But that's okay.
Well, Thursday night football is not going anywhere, that's for sure.
No. 16K for a playoff game. Don't most players make over $100,000 for a regular season game? Well,
it depends on how your salary's broken down.
Yeah. And it might be more than 16K for now.
I think it's, you know, if I'm correct, it's somewhere between, it's under 20. I think it's somewhere between 16 to 18.5 is the wild card weekend.
I'd take that for a week.
Week's work?
Yeah. And how about this? Combine President's Day and the Super Bowl so we get Monday off. We're getting there.
We're getting closer. We're getting there. All year round football would be a struggle, but we got enough news cycle. We have the combine. We have free agency. We have OTAs, and then we have that month of June where guys go celebrate and get in trouble. It's already here.
55305. That is the fan text line. Coming up next hour, Justin Herbert. Why he's rising up draft boards. We'll go off the rails. Rapid fire NFL to start the 8 o'clock hour, but next it's Hot and Cool on the Fan.